T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And Paul Dottino is brought to you by New York Community Bank, online at mynycb.com, by United Healthcare and their Oxford products, by Remax, by Two by London. Visit the engagement experts at Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center, and by CSEA Local 830. We work for you with all the stuff on the Giants. Paul Dottino. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. I wish I had my pillow on this trip to San Francisco. 6 hours both ways.
Yeah,
I'm
painful.
Really going to need to get some sleep.
Painful. It's not exactly Montana versus Sims here. You know what I mean?
No, not at all. It's more like, I don't know, watch Steve Spurrier against Craig Morton.
I like that. You got a good, very outstanding call by you. I like that.
Especially if they lose.
Well, I don't want to compare Eli Manning to either one of those guys.
You could
have went. In terms of the overall quality of the team.
You could have went John Brody against Fran Tarkenton, too. You could do that.
Yeah, but that would have been super cool because Brody and Tarkenton were good.
Right, of course.
Well,
I understand.
In this case, you have one good quarterback and then one guy who's literally holding the seat for like another week or two before we find out what Jimmy Garoppolo is. Paul, first of all, your comment or your thoughts on the report that came out from ESPN with unnamed anonymous Giants. Always love to hear the anonymous quotes accusing McAdoo of losing the team. Your thoughts?
Well, it's always been my opinion, and you guys know I've been doing this now for 35 years. If a player wants to talk off the record to you, then it's off the record, and it doesn't come out as an anonymous quote or an anonymous source. Now, if he wants it to be out there, then he better put his name to it and his face to it. I will never, ever talk to a player who says, okay, listen, I'm going to give you something that you can use on the record, but don't use my name. No, that's not the way it goes. If you want to be off the record, then be totally off the record, and it's not to be used. Be a man. Have the guts to put your name on it. If you want it out there, if you want it published, if you want it talked about, then be man enough to come out, own up to it, take responsibility, have accountability, and say what you want to say and put your face to it. So that's my first thought. So I think it's pretty gutless of a player to do something like that. That would be my first thought. My second thought would be in terms of, you know, the quitting, you know, factor that people are saying he's lost the team. And look, there's no question. There are a bunch of guys that did not attack and ball out in that game last week when they got crunched by the Rams. If you watch it, you know, I always say, let your, you know, believe what you see. Let your eyes tell you the story. That's the first time that I thought I saw that kind of play this year, where the Giants really did not ball out. But I would say this to you. Isn't that quitting on themselves? Isn't that quitting on their teammates more than it is quitting on a coach? That's one game. Jonathan Casillas, one of the Giants co-captains, said yesterday, and this is a guy who he'll come right out on camera and he'll tell you everything. I mean, he's as honest and as frank as they come. He said, you know what? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know what I saw. And he was injured, so he didn't play in the game. He said, now, if it happens again this week, now you could maybe start talking about that the team quit if it happens 2 weeks in a row. But just off of 1 week that was a terrible horror show, he wasn't ready to label it that way. And because he is such a stand-up guy, and I've gotten to know this guy pretty darn well, though he's a class act and a quality player and a quality guy, I'm going to take his stance. They do it again in San Francisco, and they show up like that, or should I say don't show up like that, now you can start using that word quit. That's what he said, and you know what? I'm willing to stand by that. That makes a lot of sense to me.
You know what, though, Paul? You're the Giant historian, and I can't remember a team that looked as bad as they looked last week. Maybe you got to go back to the John McVay era after the Pisarcik situation and all that. Maybe.
2003
I don't know.
Jim Fossil era.
Okay.
I mentioned this to you last week. They lost their eight games in a row to end the season, got blown out seven times.
Right, okay. All right, so we go
back. And he lost his job.
And he lost his job. Yeah. So we go back 14 years, no doubt about that. But I'm telling you, man, you know, the guy, there's an issue in the secondary. I mean, I'm sorry. He suspended two Pro Bowl players in the secondary. These guys were running away from tackles last week. Certainly Eli Apple, Landon Collins didn't want to play football last week. To me, there is an issue, especially with that secondary. What are your thoughts?
Well, think of it this way. You've had the suspensions back there between DRC
right.
and Jenkins.
Yep.
You have Collins, who's not playing a fraction of how
right.
well he played
fraction.
Last year.
Yep.
And ditto for Eli Apple, by the way.
Yes.
Who also is having a really rough year after, in my opinion, playing as well as any rookie corner did in the league in 2016.
He was good last year. You're right.
So you know, you've got four defensive backs right off the top, and let's throw Darian Thompson into that mix too, because when he came out of Boise State last year, everybody in the organization and all of the reporters as well, we all saw it. We were raving about this guy in training camp. He got hurt. His rookie season was basically injury-filled. Expected a ton from him this year, and what have they gotten? When's the last time you've heard Darian Thompson on a broadcast making a big play?
Yeah. No, hey, look.
So the entire secondary has either had problems or underachieved. I don't think there's any question about that. Those are the facts. Now, it's the same guys back there coaching them. You know, did they suddenly, after one off season, like lose all their ability to coach these guys? I don't know how to answer that one, to be perfectly frank with you, but I do know that position across the board has really had trouble.
No doubt about it. We're talking to Paul Dottino about the Giants. They'll try to beat the San Francisco 49ers, not let the Niners get their first win of the year. Offensively, there were a lot of drops in this game. Eli missed a couple of receivers. It was probably Eli's worst game of the year this year, but I think that fit in well with the way the team played. They ran the football well early on, and it seemed like when Gallman put the ball on the ground, they got away from the run. I know they were down 17-7, but they weren't down by 40 at that point. Your overall thoughts on how they were able to run the ball early and getting away from that, which seemed to be early in this game in the first half. Your thoughts?
Well, I do agree that Gallman has now had a lot of trouble holding onto the ball. First of all, he had a fumble, and then he also had a flat pass early in the game that was just right there in his hand, and he dropped it. This is becoming a problem, and we haven't seen a lot of him. He's been kind of spot duty, and he's shown trouble holding onto the ball. Didn't have it at Clemson. I did check into it, and it was not a problem there. It seems to have been a problem here as a rookie. So that's one thing that has to be addressed. I think really the tide turned. It was basically, as I recall, you'd have to look at the play-by-play because it's already kind of sketchy to me, Evan. I seem to recall they had back-to-back offensive possessions with the strip sack on Eli, which turned into points, the Gallman fumble, which turned into points. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Giants had three turnovers and a blocked punt that were converted into three touchdowns and a field goal. And that I know you don't have to look up because that's a number that's embedded in my head. I got that for sure.
Yeah.
And that just, pushed the avalanche or the snowball into an avalanche. And no, I mean, at that point, was there any sense in even trying to run the ball? So I get the question. Because there were many times in the past where I thought the Giants did get away from it, but you know, I'm not gonna suggest otherwise. They're going since Mike Sullivan's taken over. They have certainly run the ball better. They've used a lot more double tight end. They've even used some triple tight end on occasion, and they've tried to line up the tight ends in the backfield a little bit more as a fullback on occasion as well. I still think seeing Shane Smith activated from the practice squad would be a smart thing to do. Who knows if they'll do it, but you know, this is a team that in the last month or so since Mike Sullivan took over has shown that they can run the ball a heck of a lot better than they had, and right now that's their best formula.
All right, I'm talking to Paul Dottino about the Giants, and I'm not going to put you on the spot and say do you like this coach or not, because I'm sure there's an answer there that you won't say if you don't like him, and you know, you might give me the nonsense.
No, I'm going to tell you, Joe.
Do you like him or not?
You don't even have to ask me. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Okay, let me hear it.
I have mixed feelings right now.
All right.
Because I know what I saw last year.
Right.
I know what I'm seeing this year. But my take on it is I've been around a long time. And when you see a guy who's 40 years old, who's only in his second year as a head coach, period. Remember, he's never been a head coach at any other level.
Right.
Not at high school.
Yep.
Not in college. Nowhere. this is a learning experience. The truth is, Ben McAdoo's learning on the job. And last year, he didn't have much adversity. The Josh Brown thing was an organizational problem. The they had to deal with the big picture. The boat trip was just, that was just such garbage. That was TMZ stuff. What real football adversity did a rookie head coach in the NFL who had never been a head coach at any level have to deal with last year?
Not a lot.
Really, none.
Yeah.
None. And to boot, he didn't have many injuries. So now, this year, what's he got? He's got a ton of X's and O's adversity and a ton of injuries. And quite frankly, I think a man of his age and of his experience as a head coach, it is overwhelming to him, and it has become an avalanche. It's basically become the perfect storm. And I think at this point in time of his career, it's not like he's in the best position to handle it. Maybe 10 years from now, he'll be in a great position to handle it. But right now, it's like when Bill Belichick was in Cleveland.
No,
he got his first head coaching job. George Young was 1,000% correct. Bill Belichick was not equipped to handle an NFL head coaching job at the time he took the Browns job. And he failed. He failed miserably.
Remember
people
one thing.
Let me say one thing.
Remember, he did make the playoffs in 94 in Cleveland, actually beat Parcells and the Patriots in a playoff game. And remember also, that team was on their way out of Cleveland as well. So that was also
no
all part of that.
There were a lot of circumstances there, Joe. I'm not saying there weren't a lot of circumstances. But bottom line, his body work in Cleveland is not well remembered.
Right. Well, I understand.
And I'm not saying that Ben McAdoo is going to be Bill Belichick in 10 years. I'm not saying that. But it's going to take a lot of time and experience for him to be able to navigate the kind of a perfect storm that he has run up against this year. It's almost unrealistic to expect him to have been able to navigate this.
That's the appeal of a veteran coach when they brought Tom Coughlin with the experience he had. So, I mean, that's the risk you have.
And Evan, that's really the point. And the Giants did not think at the time they hired McAdoo to be the head coach, they were thinking a couple things. One, that the team wanted to maintain some sense of symmetry with Eli Manning. And two, they thought that they were going to buy all those defensive players, get themselves a playoff contender, and sometime over the course of the first 2 or 3 years of McAdoo's tenure, make a run to the Super Bowl. They never anticipated that this young, inexperienced rookie head coach in his first couple of years was going to run into an iceberg.
That's what it's been.
And that's why they made the decision in part, okay, you know what? We know the guy hasn't been a head coach. He should not have to deal with an iceberg. It's going to be okay. Well, they lost on that gamble.
Do you see him as the coach next year?
I think right now it's still a bit too early to determine. I mean, it's bad. But again, I just explained to you why it's reasonable to believe that he would be in this pickle, given the situation and the circumstances. So I am sure that that's going to be part of the mathematical equation that ownership continues to weigh as they watch this team week by week. Now, if what Jonathan Casillas said comes to pass, if they show up in San Francisco and show up the rest of the year, still, I think you could argue on his behalf that it was just a perfect storm and maybe he survives it. But if the team goes out to San Francisco and lays a second consecutive egg, and now you can put the term quit on them, well, I mean, come on. You know which arrow the direction's going to point in, don't you?
No doubt.
Of course.
No doubt. Paul, we appreciate it. Thank you as always.
All right, Paul.
Okay, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.